Good evening. Tonight's Bible reading comes from Acts chapter 2, Pew Bible, page 884, if you've got this one. We'll follow along above or there. So read Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen.
Evening, everyone. Good to have you here with us as we continue through the book of Acts. And tonight we start by asking the question about the signs of life. Now, I know that most of you aren't gardeners, but if you were trying to find a healthy plant, it's pretty straightforward. You look for one that has a good root system, which often means that the soil needs to be good. And I can guarantee you that if you pull out the plant to look at the roots to make sure they're okay, it's probably not the best idea. You also look for healthy foliage. You look for green shoots and health and life and no disease or insects of any kind. And you also look for fruitfulness. And, of course, much of that can be like real fruit, but also flowers and other aspects of being fruitful. That's the signs of life of plants. But we also have signs of life for people. And even though I'm not medically trained and I'm not even medically certified as a first aider, I do believe there are some letters that help us know what to do if we're worrying about the signs of life. A, B, C, D, E, through to about J. But the first is the airway. Make sure it's not blocked. B, breathing. Are they breathing? And then C, which I think is very important, are they conscious? Because never a really good... I'm saying conscious. It's because it's never a really good idea to start mouth-to-mouth if they're conscious. All right? So, and so on. D for danger and E for... Oh, who knows what happens then. Go through their pockets. Look for change. whatever it might be, there's all these opportunities for signs of life. Every morning during the week, I have the chance to see if there are signs of life in the three teenage bedrooms of our house, having to get some of them up rather early. And first you see a doona lump, and then that lump begins to move. It sometimes has a cat on it, sometimes two. We have five in the house, and they like to share themselves around. But then there's some groaning, and then I turn the light on and ask, "Are you awake?" And they say, "Yes. Get out." So that's signs of life in a teenage bedroom. But if I asked you a bigger question about life, what would be the signs of a good life? I mean, these are relatively easy things to work through. What's the sign of a good life in this society, in our culture? I suspect it might have something to do, at least in our world, of having the right kind of house and driving the right kind of car, going on the right kind of holidays, enjoying the right kind of celebrations, and keeping a certain level of fitness. That seems to be what occupies the attention and minds of many folk within our culture, particularly down here in the Shire, where it's a beautiful place to live. And these are the things that sometimes show that out. We've got our life together. We've got it all worked out. And One person actually worked out a couple of years ago, with all of the help magazines that you can buy, that if you did everything that they said you needed in order to have a fulfilling and helpful life, it would take 27 hours a day. And that's without sleep. So obviously there's some competition about what it is that should make our life a good life. And tonight we look at the life of a church. What would make a healthy church? What makes the signs of life for church when we gather as God's people? Well, the good news is that Luke summarizes it for us at the very commencement of the birth of the church. It's the day of Pentecost. Today is technically the day of Ascension in the Christian calendar when Jesus has been exalted to heaven. But today we look at what happened as a result of those people being filled with the Holy Spirit and coming together as a brand new community formed by God. What does it actually look like? Well, there are actually four signs of life that are given to us in the very first verse that Jonathan read to us. In verse 42 of chapter 2 in Acts, it says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer." And that word devotion is a word of just absolute enjoyment and immersion, and I guess there's so many words that you could use to it, but it really does mean to be completely committed to the things that are listed here, the four different areas, which are all signs of life. And in fact, one of the great things about when we go to see a marriage is that in some of our marriage rituals, when it comes to the exchange of rings, one of the lines that's sometimes used is a beautiful picture of devotion. You hand over the ring and before it's finished, and then you say these words. You say, "All that I am and all that I have, I give you." It's just a beautiful way of saying, "I am all in." And that's what this word devotion means. And what was it that they were all in about? What were the four things that Luke uses as a summary? Well, the first one is teaching. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And it's important for us to know that in the old ancient world, that teaching did not mean learning. Learning is something else. Learning is just about being able to recite facts or say your times tables or remember the facts of history. But for the ancient world, when it says to be taught, it actually means a lot more. We think of the word instruction, we're getting instructions, but really it is much more an immersion. That is, it's all about being able to put these things into practice. As Jesus said, it's those who hear my words and put them into practice that have a solid foundation for life, not those who hear my words alone. And Francis Chan has a great little story of telling his daughter to clean his room, to clean her room, I should say. And he said, "Could you imagine as a dad, when you tell your daughter to clean her room, that she then goes, has a look and comes back and goes, 'I had a look at my room. I know what it means to clean my room. I heard you. I even learnt it off by heart. You said, clean your room. And I can even say it in Greek.' And then she said, 'I've got some friends coming over. We're going to sit around. We're going to talk about what it would look like for my room to be clean. Would you be happy if that's all that they did?' Well, obviously you understood it, the instruction, but immersion means not just to know what it means, but to actually put it into practice. And that's what the early church did. They both had the words of Jesus and they learnt the ways of Jesus from the apostles who had been with Jesus. If you remember, the criteria for those first apostles was that they had been with Jesus from the very beginning all the way through to when he ascended into heaven. So they knew the words of Jesus, they knew the ways of Jesus, how he lived, and that's what they passed on. So that's the teaching. But they were also devoted to, it says, fellowship. Now, fellowship's one of those words that most modern Christians who've been in church for some time know as a word. They might even know the Greek word, koinonia. But this is the only time that fellowship is used in Acts. It's used very rarely, in fact, for the amount of people who actually know the actual word. It's the only time it's used. And it means a community that's been formed by the Holy Spirit. This is something that God does when he brings us into fellowship with himself, into a relationship with God. We also come into a relationship with each other. And we call that relationship with each other fellowship. And it's a fellowship that's diverse and inclusive. As Peter reminded us, when God pours out his Spirit, it's going to be on men and women. It's going to be on old men and young men, old women, young men. It's going to be all different kinds of people, all different kinds of races and ethnicities, because on the day of Pentecost, Jews were from all around the different cultures and nations and spoke different languages. And here we're told that they were melded into one community, one fellowship. And so as we look around at the signs of life for a church, are they people who are both listening and practicing what Jesus says? But are they a people who are diverse, who include everyone? There's no barriers for fellowship with others. And we see that our common experience of the Holy Spirit, which brings us into life with God and with each other, is the thing that joins us, not our economic status or the way that we dress or any of those other kinds of things. That's number two. Then number three, it says they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. Now, if we put Luke and Acts together, and Acts is chapter 2 of the things that Jesus began to do and teach in just a couple of chapters ago, so we're talking chapter 23, 24 here of Luke, this word breaking of bread was used as well. It was used for the two men who'd gone for a walk down to Emmaus. We know one of them was called Cleopas. And they were so dejected because they thought that Jesus had died and that all of their hopes were dashed. And it's Jesus himself who joins them. And it says that when he broke bread with them, suddenly they recognized Jesus and then he disappeared from their sight. What they did when they broke bread was to remember and to recognize Jesus. It's something Jesus himself gave us. The Last Supper, it's communion, which we celebrated this morning and we'll celebrate in a couple of weeks here at Night Church. But they intentionally remember Jesus. They realize that when they come together, they need to focus on him and not on themselves. And so they remember the life and the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And that is a tangible demonstration of the real connection that we have as we share the cup and we share the loaf of bread, and that is passed around. Those things remind us of the deep connection that we have because of Jesus, not because of any other reason. So that's the breaking of bread. That's the third sign of life. And the fourth one that's listed here is that they devoted themselves to the prayer. And the word prayer here is plural. It's prayers. And in the ancient world that Peter and John and James and all the other apostles lived in, observant Jew or a holy Jew or someone who was serious about their faith, they'd normally pray at three different set times during the day. Once before they went to work in the morning, once in the middle of the day because they used to take the hottest part of the day off, like a siesta. So there's a couple of hours, 4 hours in the middle of the day where they did very little. There was a prayer during that time, and then there was one at sunset at the end of the day of work. And so they had this pattern in their life of praying before they go to work, praying in the middle of the day while they rested, and praying at the end of the day at the end of work. And we'll see as we go through the rest of Acts that that pattern is followed by the apostles and also the people, meeting in the temple courts, praying together. But we also know that they had, not along with those set times of prayer, they had special times of prayer, which we saw when they were waiting for the Holy Spirit, where they had 10 days where it says they prayed continuously. So they had an established regular pattern of prayer, and they also had special times of gathering to pray for very specific things. So they're the signs of life that are given to us. Teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. That's all from verse 42. And then Luke describes what it looks like for the life of a people that actually act all of those things out. So in verse 43, it says that everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. The first expression of that life together is that God is in their midst. That's what this says. And Peter, in the start of his sermon, actually said that Jesus was a man accredited to you by God through signs and wonders. In other words, the life of Jesus was authenticated by God himself in the things that happened. And so not only did people learn the words of Jesus and the ways of living for Jesus, but they also experienced the works of Jesus. And that happens in awes and signs and wonders. And it filled people with awe because they knew that God was really with this new, brand new movement of following Jesus. And we're going to find through next week as we look through one of those experiences of how that happens and what it means. But that's part of the teaching. They taught the words of Jesus, they demonstrated the ways and revealed that God was at work amongst them. And so they have these times when the kingdom of God breaks in from the future and we get pictures of what it'll look like when Jesus finally is Lord of all. So that's the first part. The second part that we see as we read through in verse 44, it says, all the believers were together, had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. The second outworking of this is what happens when they're actually in fellowship. And the first thing I notice, even though I didn't emphasize it, is it says together, together, together. Three times, together, together, together. They spent time together. This community that was formed by the Holy Spirit is a together kind of community. Even though they're diverse, even though they've got old and young, rich and poor, people of different classes and nations and states, they still do everything together. And what was it that they did together? Well, they had everything in common in the sense that they didn't think of things that they had as their own, but they would use them as needed for others. So the first thing that we see them doing was caring for those who were in need, who they were together with. And they sold property and possessions to give to those people. In other words, they voluntarily gave what God had given them to use for others. It's one of the first marks of this kind of fellowship that was formed. And so they cared for people. They cared for those in need. The second thing that it says they did was every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. The second thing is they spent time together. Significant time. Here is daily. Catching up with each other. Trying to learn and figure out together what it looks like to follow Jesus in daily life. And that's a hard thing to do. It's why church camps are so popular and so helpful. And in fact, there's a church not too far from here which actually takes a couple of weekends off normal church and they have a whole week away. And there's 170 people who go to this week away where the church gathers and there's all kinds of people. They're all mixed in, but they want to learn intentionally together what it might look like to be able to live as God's people. So they take the time, they're intentional, just as those who were in this. It's a sign of life. And the third thing that they did in verse 46 is they broke bread in homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. So it's no accident that we're off to the Turners tonight. We're going to their home. That's the third thing that happens when we have genuine community. We open our homes to one another and we eat together. Now, I'm not a big fan of Downton Abbey, although it is on its way back for those who are. But they have the upstairs and the downstairs eating. They separate people according to class and station. But here we're told that these tables of fellowship were actually open tables. People could come and eat together. And if I asked you, how many times do you think Jesus ate with other people in the Gospel of Luke, who wrote Acts, how many times would you imagine that he actually is recorded as sitting at table eating with other folks? Well, rather than you have to look through it all, there's actually 12 times. That's a lot. That's one every two chapters. That's more than Jesus spoke about heaven and hell combined times about five. It's very important that we open our homes to each other. And Rosaria Butterfield, who's a literary critic and a relatively new Christian in her life, wrote this wonderful book. It's called The Gospel Comes with a House Key. That is, these people weren't just sharing the gospel, the message about Jesus, but they were basically giving not just a message, but giving an invitation for people to come to be part of their household, opening the door. And so these are things that are really important for us to do together. So not only is God at work amongst us, and the things that we see are done by God, but we care for those in need, spend time together, and we open our homes to one another. Next, the last thing that they do is they tend to prayer, but they also, it says, praise God in verse 47. So the expansion, if you like, of prayer is not just asking God for things or bringing a situation to him, but praising him, worshipping him. And when that happens, there's two results that we're given, two results which indicate the signs of life are working. Two things. The first, it says that they enjoyed the favour of all the people. That is, when people met them, they said, thank God you're here with us. Thank God you're part of this community. Thank God you're my neighbour. Thank God you're part of my work colleagues. Thank you for who you are because of Jesus. Now, they might not know it's Jesus, but they're thankful. They want to be with you because you, living the life of Jesus, is a life which a friend of mine, Martin Duffy, called us about 10 years ago and reminds me every time, winsome. A life that's attractive to people who do not yet know Jesus because, for whatever reason, they're attracted to seeing Jesus in you. That's the first effect of a life like this, enjoying the favour of others. In other words, they don't say, I wish the church had disappeared. They might say that about Big C Church, but Little C Church. I'm so glad that Miranda Kong's around because they do, and whatever it might be, that helps the community and serves other people or brings life and joy. That's the first result of a healthy life, church. And the second one is that people come to know Jesus through there. It shows us that the Lord kept adding daily to their number, those being saved. The other effect of living this life is that it actually produces more life through the power of God. God brings more people to know who Jesus is. And so as we come to the end of this time together, thinking about what it might be to live like this, we have to ask ourselves, are we those who are immersed in the words and ways of Jesus, not just knowing what they are, but actually doing what he says? You know, the simple example that Jesus gave that I think is a very interesting and straightforward one is that in the Sermon on the Mount, he tells us to love our enemies. And then we see Jesus doing that as he dies on the cross, because his enemies who crucified him, he prays for them and says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's what it looks like to love you and pray for your enemies. Jesus shows us what that's like. If we could pick any of the other things that Jesus said, and we could see the example in his life and in the life of his early followers, are we those who actually live it out, not just know it in our heads? Are we those who care for each other? Are we those who spend significant time together? Are we those who are willing to open our homes to others? Are we those who daily and intentionally focus our life on Jesus? And are we those who are committed to prayer, whether that's the regular prayer or the one that's needed spontaneously or for a special season? If that's the case, then there'll be people who are glad that we are part of their life. And there'll be more and more people come to know that same life given by God, by the Holy Spirit, to those whom he calls. So let's pray that he would continue to do that through us. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this short summary of the life of the early church and just for those signs of life. We pray that we might think through our own lives, both individually but also as a church, what it would look like to be healthy and alive like this. Lord, bring those things to mind that are within our life that would encourage us that, yes, there really is life, but also challenge us of the things where we may be lacking, and change our hearts, change our attitude and our posture towards each other and towards those outside, that we might be those who are healthy and vital and alive because of your Holy Spirit at work in us. Help us to be a community that people are thankful for, and that you would continue to add daily to the number of the ones who are saved. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.